worship you this morning. We honor you this morning. We magnify you this morning. We adore you, Jesus. We praise you. You are holy. The Lamb that was slain, who died and rose again, by whose blood we have received pardon, by whose life ours has been redeemed and ransomed. What a love. What a love. What a love. We cannot pay it back. It is not even for us to pay it back. We choose to love because you first love us. So Father, we honor you this morning. We magnify you, we exalt you, we adore you, we praise you. You are holy, you are righteous, you are magnificent, you are wonderful beyond description. There is no word sufficient enough to describe who you are, what you've done, what you continue to do. So Father, we bless you, we adore you, we honor you, we magnify you. We join the host of heaven this morning and we declare that thou alone are worthy to take the scroll, to open the seal, and to read thereof. For thou wast slain to redeem man unto God, and to make them a company of priests and kings for our God. We worship you. You deserve it. Even now, O God, speak to us. Let your word prosper in our hearts, in our spirits, in our mind. That today, this day, shall not just be another Easter Sunday, but indeed it will be a moment of truth. A moment of awakening. Amen. Where we arise to be all and to do all for the very reason for which you came and died. Amen. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We bless the name of the Lord this morning. Happy Easter to you all. Those who are watching by our Facebook Live, happy Easter to you. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to come your way and to bring the Word of God to you this morning. We thank the Lord for the opportunity also to one more time over this side of Jordan to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. All over the world, everywhere today, people are celebrating Easter. Amen. 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 However, we must understand what this is all about.
Amen.
Because celebration without understanding is meaningless. When you celebrate and you do not understand and do not call to mind the very factors that lead to that celebration, then you cannot appreciate fully what it is all about. So this morning, I am bringing a very unusual message on this Easter Sunday. I know often people talk about the resurrection of Jesus, and we talked about all that Easter means to us and all that we've stand to benefit because of Easter. However, this morning, I am coming from a little bit a different dimension, even as the Holy Spirit himself has instructed. Amen? Amen. My prayer is that you will receive the word of God.
Amen.
My prayer is that your heart be open to not only receive, but be quickened, that you be quickened, that you be quickened to the truth of what I'm about to share, even by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I will take my reading this morning from the book of John Gospel, the 20th chapter, beginning from verse 1 through verse 17. We will be reading a lot of scriptures and being mindful of also of our time, trusting that the Holy Spirit will help us be able to bring to light all that he has desired this morning. John Gospel chapter 20, beginning from verse 1, reading from the New Living Translation. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simeon Peter and the other disciple, which is John, the beloved, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings laying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed that the linen wrappings laying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still didn't understand the scripture that Jesus said must be risen from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white robed angels. I want you to notice that. Those angels didn't appear while she was weeping. Those angels were there. But why is it that Peter and John didn't see them? Why is it that the experience of Mary Magdalene is different from that of Peter and John? The question here is what you're seeking. The question here is the heart you have for the Master. For Peter and John, they were not believing in the sense that she believed. They came to see, and the Bible says, as they saw, they went home. There wasn't anything further in them to say, what is this all about? Therefore, I say unto you this morning that you can only receive from God that which you're hungry for.
Hallelujah.
You can only receive from God when your heart is completely yielded to what he can offer to you. You can only receive from God when you understand and accept the truth of what he has come to offer to you. Mary Magdalene encountered something that Peter, who it was spoken to, and who experienced the transfiguration, who heard the revelation of the messiahship of Jesus, but out of the events that led to the crucifixion of Jesus, Peter's faith has been shaken. But Mary, knowing her story, knowing where he found her, understanding the love by which he has loved her, could not accept just to stoop and look and go home. She was hungry for something different. Are you hungry for something different? Is your heart yearning for something deeper in God in this season? Hallelujah. The Bible says she saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been laying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angel asked. Because they have taken away my Lord. She replied, and I don't know where they have put him. She turned to leave and saw another standing there. Hallelujah. It was Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener. So, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him. Imagine a woman in those days. It was a taboo for you to touch the dead. But this woman was so eager because of the love she has for Jesus that when the apostles ran home, she stood. She wanted an answer. She didn't want to leave without knowing where the body of Jesus was kept. Her love for Jesus was beyond what anybody could ever think of her. She was willing to defy every odd and every legalistic, ritualistic standard of man when it came to Jesus. She could not take no for an answer. Her love was contagious. It was passionate. Child of God, what kind of love do you have for Jesus? Hallelujah. What kind of love is radiating in your heart? Because what I'm about to share, this is not my message, but what I'm about to share with you today, it is about just not thinking, oh, I know that Jesus died for me, and then what? Jesus died for you, yeah. And then what? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. She said to him, show me, I'm going to get him. Jesus at that moment called her by her name, Mary. Aren't you happy he knows you by name?
Amen.
She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is in Hebrew, teacher. Don't cling to me, not social distance. Don't cling to me, Jesus said. For I haven't yet ascended to the Father. Jesus was on his way back to heaven. But there was a soul whose love and heart for Jesus stopped him halfway.
Hallelujah.
There was a soul who knew how to get engaged with heaven so much so that Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrew, that the heavenly tabernacle needed to be sanctified by the blood of Christ on his way to fulfill the last aspect of his death and resurrection.
Hallelujah.
The love of Mary,
hallelujah,
the heart she had for Jesus stopped him halfway.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Jesus was there when Peter and John ran to that tomb. You see, a challenge we have as a people is that we don't understand that the God with whom we deal with sees our heart. They ran, but they were still full of unbelief and doubt. And I don't want anybody to take any issue with them. The point here is, look at this woman caught in adultery, was about to be stoned to death. Never enjoyed the intimacy that Peter and John enjoyed with Jesus. Never stood or sat at the feet of Jesus like the way they did. Never had the opportunity for Christ to share intimately with her, even upon the scriptures concerning his death and resurrection. Yet, the little she knew,
come on,
was so much for her that she could not take no for an answer. Early in the morning, she awoke, not knowing what is going to be. The soldiers were still guiding the tomb as of the last time they knew of it. But she went all the way.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
for the love with which he has loved Jesus. Do you love Jesus? What are you willing to risk for Jesus? What are you willing to do for Jesus? What is this season all about for you? What does it mean that Jesus has risen from the dead? What is Easter all about? When you think about it, what comes to your mind? What comes to your spirit? Is he another season of ritualistic celebration? Is he another season where we get together, eat good meal, and just say, oh, Jesus is risen from the dead? What is he going to mean to you in this season? What is Easter for you? What exactly are you celebrating? To what extent do you understand what you're celebrating? Therefore, this morning, as I share with you the event that changed the history of humanity, I need you to understand that this is not a myth. It is factual. Amen. It is truth. Amen. Jesus came to this world to save sinners, of whom I am a chief of, Paul said. Jesus literally walked the earth and died, was crucified, and rose again. Well, why did he do all that? Why did this event occur? What is it that God was about? Do you know that God could have saved the world without sending Jesus? But why did he do? Why this season? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We must ask these questions, because in answering them, we understand and we come to the place of awakening to the truth of what this season is all about. It is not about a banning. It is not about eggs hunting. It is not about everything that man has made it to be. There is something deeper, something greater, for which this season has been orchestrated by God. Follow me to understand that this morning. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The impact of the events of life, such as we experience on a daily basis, leaves us either transformed or weakened by that event, or energized and motivated. In other words, events of life has a purpose. Events of life has a purpose.
Yes.
Every event that takes place in your life has a purpose to it. Easter has a purpose. We must understand what this event is purposed to be by God in order for us to maximize what it is that this event has brought about in our lives. Events are meant to transform you. It may transform you positively or negatively. Events are meant to motivate you. They may motivate you towards the right direction or the wrong direction. The choice of what the events of life becomes is yours to determine. In other words, life events are not things you take lightly.
That's right.
They have meaning.
Amen.
And understanding that meaning makes all the difference. Hallelujah.
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 When you had your first child, something changed in you. A sense of responsibility. Mm-hmm. When you bought your first home, something changed in you. When you lost a loved one who was close and dear to you, that event became something that transformed your life in ways and manners that only you can understand. So every event you have experienced, when you fell in love for the first time, something happened to you. It moved your life to directions that you never knew. It opened territories that you never adventured into until that event occurred. So the event of resurrection, of the crucifixion of Jesus, has a purpose in God.
Hallelujah.
But unfortunately, the church has not sought to understand what this event truly means or why God have allowed it. Hallelujah. The key element here is that the death of Christ, of Jesus Christ, and his resurrection from the dead are both transformative events in human history, and that cause and challenges those who have become impacted by these events to a life or to a calling that must now shape their destiny. Easter is a destiny shaping, destiny transforming event. It is a destiny transforming event. It is a destiny shaping event. It changes the trajectory of human history from the very moment it occurred up until when Jesus will come back again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The world has never remained the same. And we not remain the same. Many people think, oh, coronavirus is changing the world. No, it's changing certain things in the world. The only event that have changed the world is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We must recognize the transformative power of Easter. We must recognize the motivational impact of Easter, the inspiring impact. God intended to inspire us. You know, it is easy when people are telling you things, but it becomes so a home run to you when the person who is telling you something becomes what he's telling you to be. When the person who is telling you to love people comes to show you what it means to love. When the person who is calling you to sacrifice becomes the sacrifice himself. When the person who is telling you it is good for you to forgive becomes the forgiveness that are my God. When you see that person who says to you, do not hate, demonstrate to you what it means not to hate. It becomes a transformative event because it is no longer a story. It becomes a life experience.
Amen.
The death of Jesus, the coming of Jesus, the event of this season is meant to inspire a motivation in your spirit.
Amen.
It's meant to transform your mind, to transform your spirit, to transform the way you look at life. It is meant to be revelatory in nature. It opens your eyes to this God who loved you.
Amen.
Before you were formed in your mother's womb.
Amen.
Who has a purpose for your life. That everything he has said to you to do, he came to do. So that you and I are without excuse. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There are three major elements about events. Number one is the precipitating factors. The things that happens before the event. What leads to the event? What precipitated it? What is the factor leading to this event? My young son here just turned 16 the other day. Very soon he'll be going to college. By virtue of the changes in his lifespan and the expectations of life as he grows, there are events that will begin to occur in his life that are going to open doors to him in ways that he never knew. He may have heard about it, but he's going to become a living experience of those things very shortly. It is important you understand that Jesus didn't just appear out of nothing. There were things that led to the coming of Jesus. Why did he come? Why was it necessary that he leaves the glory above? Why was it necessary that he didn't just wave the hand and the sins of men are forgiven? Because with God, all things are possible. Why is it that he had to incarnate and dwell among us? Why is it that the God of glory took upon himself human flesh and became one like us? Yet without sin.
Jesus.
What are the events that precipitated this? We know according to the Bible in Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1 to 15, because of time I'm not going to read it. that there is something called the fall of man. Mm-hmm. That man who was created in the state of innocence decided to disobey God. It was a choice for Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 to 15 or 21 actually. It was a choice for them. They made a choice. Therefore, when people say, well, I do what I do because the conditions of my life is not good enough, that's not truth. Oh, I just did that because I'm going through so much hardship. That's not truth. We do what we do because we choose to do it. Because even when the condition is so perfect, such as it was for them in the Garden of Eden, temptation was not far. Temptation, therefore, is not a product of external factors, as the Bible says, that every man is tempted when their lust comes to maturity. Adam and Eve had the best that humankind ever dreamed of. Have you ever woken up to in a garden full of precious stones? Have you ever woken up to the singing of the birds in the morning? Have you ever woken up to the merging of the four rivers of the earth coming together in the very place where you are? Have you ever woken up to the singing of angels and the voice of the Almighty God awakening you morning by morning? Have you ever woken up to a situation and a condition where you have no need of anything? You were not sick in your body. You lacked nothing. Everything you ever needed was available to you. That was the condition in which they lived. But yet. But yet. But yet. So people don't do things because of condition. We do things because of nature. The nature that we have needed to be changed. Therefore Jesus must come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we see in Genesis 3 verse 1 to 15 and to 21, that sin entered into the world. When sin entered into the world, it corrupted the nature of man. Man became one that is rebellious against God. For the Bible declares in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned. All have sinned. And fallen short of the glory of God. That there is no one who seeks after God. Isaiah 59 declares that the hand of the Lord is not short, neither is his ears dull, but our sins have separated him. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2. Our sins have separated us from him. So the sin factor became that which necessitated the coming of Jesus. But beside the sin factor, Romans chapter 1 verse 18 reveals to us the wickedness of the hearts of men. It wasn't just our disobedience to God, but what we began to do to one another, what we began to do against one another, the depth of our evil imagination continued to grow and grow and grow and grow to the point that in Genesis chapter 6, the Bible said, it regretted God, or God regretted created man. It was so bad. But in Genesis 6, God regretted that he created man. Why? The Bible says, for the imaginations of the heart is evil continually. We became a product of rebellion. We became a product of evil. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that not only did we become such wicked people, we encouraged those who did such things. We learned new ways and invented new ways to do wrong. We became depraved without God. Our lives was full of sin. Neither could we save ourselves. The law was given, and yet no one could keep it, because the demand of the law and the necessity of obedience could not become that which merges with the human nature of sin that constantly dominated the heart of those who even wanted to do right. Therefore, all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. A righteous God must execute his righteousness.
Amen.
A God of justice must execute his justice. Yet, though he be holy, separate from sin, he is the God who loves.
Amen.
The love that he has for you and I could not allow him not to do something for humanity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, in John chapter 1, beginning from verse 1 through 12, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. John chapter 12, chapter 1, verse 1 to 12. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And he tabernacled and dwelled among us, full of grace and truth. So that anyone who believes in him, they become sons of God. Even those who believe in his name.
Amen.
So what brought about this? The holiness of God could not overlook the sin of man.
Amen.
Neither would the love of God allow the holiness of God to execute the intended judgment of those who have done such things, even as we have done. Therefore, God himself must remedy the situation. Because there is no one who was found worthy to take the scroll, neither to open the seal. There was no one in heaven, on earth, or beneath the earth that someone was given to all. But there was no one found worthy. Therefore, the Bible declares in Isaiah 59 verse 16, I found no one. Therefore, my own hands have brought me salvation.
Amen.
God needed to remedy because his love could not allow him to see the very creation that he has loved become that is wasted. Jesus needed to come. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus needed to come. Not only did he need to come in order to satisfy the righteous judgment of God, he needed to come to show you what it means to live for God. What it means to be a child of God. What it means to serve God. What it means to sacrifice. What it means to be one with God. Hallelujah. So the precipitating event that leads to this moment in history is that all have sinned. Everyone walked away. The Jew, the Gentile, everyone stood judged before God. Our ways were corrupted. Our ways dishonored God. Therefore, God came to ransom the situation. For only him can satisfy his righteous requirement. Only him can satisfy his own justice.
Amen.
No man could.
No man.
Hallelujah.
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 The second element about an event is the actual event, the happening, the action, the things that took place. Therefore, during this Easter, as many celebrated all over the world, something happened. There is an event that took place. Historically, it is true that Jesus of Nazareth once lived on earth.
Mm-hmm.
The very God of the very God took upon him the form of man. He became one with us that he may redeem those who have been condemned to die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Why? Because it is impossible for God's mercy to override his justice. As much as God was God full of mercy, it cannot override the justice of God. Those who do such things are deserving of death, the Bible says. His holiness will never conflict with his love. Therefore, at the cross, the event itself, we see God demonstrating to us something that we must call to mind today. The first thing we see concerning the event of this moment is the holiness of God. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 3. As I write in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted. The train of his glory filled the temple. And I heard the angels singing and shouting, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the temple shook, and the voice of the angels that sung the song of heaven, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." God is transcendent over evil. God is above sin. God is above wickedness. There is no evil in God. Never you contemplate in one moment of your life that God is the author of evil. No, God does not do any evil. It is not in him to be evil.
Amen.
It is not in him to do wickedness.
Amen.
It is not in him to hate. It is not in him to do anything contrary to his holiness.
Amen. Amen.
Therefore, at the cross,
hallelujah,
we see a holy God,
hallelujah,
demonstrating his repulsiveness to sin. People of God, Easter is a reminder that God hates sin.
Amen.
It is a reminder that the God whom you choose to serve and whom you profess is holy and righteous. Easter is a reminder that if indeed you must come to him, you must come the way of the cross.
Amen.
Come through the cross. I must die that I may live. For the cross, death becomes a necessity. You cannot escape it. Because if you carry that nature with which you became one with the sinful nature of Adam, you can never approach this holy God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God demonstrated his holiness at the cross. Number two, God demonstrated his righteousness. He did right. He showed us that indeed it is a righteous thing to stand for what is right. Hallelujah. God is righteous. His ways are consistent. If he hates sin and sin must be judged, then he must judge sin. He must stand to be the righteous judge, not condemning the sinner, but removing the sin from the, oh my God.
Amen.
Removing the ability of the enemy to torment humanity.
Amen.
By demonstrating his righteousness.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
At the cross, we see the justice of God. We see a God who judges justly. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 from verse 13 that Christ became or was made a curse for us. For curse is he that hangs on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come unto us the Gentile. The justice of God demand the death of the sinner. The justice of God demand that sin must be punished. But God could not behold humanity dying and continue to die because of their sin. Therefore, he renders himself as the propitiation, the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, that you and I may stand before God justified.
Amen.
And what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, that having peace with God, we are justified. We are justified. We are justified. We are declared just before God. Why? Because the justice of God has prevailed not over humanity, but over sin. And through the sacrifice of Jesus, you and I now stand justified before God.
Amen.
Your past,
hallelujah,
is not remembered by God.
Hallelujah.
Your past, even the last 2 seconds of it, is not remembered by God. Now, I know that that is something that many people don't know how to appreciate it or understand it. But the truth is this. By virtue of the death of Jesus on the cross, God looks at humanity with the eyes of his mercy.
Hallelujah.
For now his mercy has been, his justice has been satisfied. But it calls for something. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
At the cross we see the goodness of God. We see what? The goodness of God. The goodness of God leads to repentance. God showed his goodness. The Bible says that it is of his own good will. James chapter 1 verse 18. It is of his own goodness. James 1 18. It is of his own goodness that he has begotten us again and afresh unto a new and a lively hope. It is of his own goodness. It is not about what you did. It's not about what anybody did. It is God who chose to be good to you.
Amen.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
At the cross, number six, number five, we see the wrath of God. God demonstrated his anger towards sin. Not on the sinner, but he took Omahande Barosabata. He carried it himself all the way to Calvary. People of God, this was not an easy thing. Jesus was fully human. At the cross, he did not die as God. Because as God, he cannot atone for your sin. He died as the God-man.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, every pain, those of you who have watched the Passion of the Christ, everything that they dramatized there is real. He took every lash of the Romans. A 50 minus 1. Christ was beaten for you. For me. He walked all the way to Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
3 days having not eaten anything. The Bible said at a Gethsemane, he was so much agonizing that the veins within his body was busting open. And the sweat that is coming out of his body were blood clots. Yet, he went all the way. Not for himself, but for
Hallelujah.
You. What does this sacrifice mean for you? Many of us pledge allegiance to people who have done things for us. Many of us are loyal to systems that we think have our back. Many of us cling to people whom we think have been this to us. And we can do everything that they ask. No one has ever done for you what Jesus
Hallelujah.
Has done for you.
Amen.
How much do you love him?
Mm-hmm.
How much do you cling to him?
Mm-hmm.
How much does his sacrifice mean something? At the cross we see the mercy of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. He who knew no sin was made a sin offering. That through him we might be reconciled to God. We see the mercy of God. And finally we see the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John chapter 3 verse 16. Now whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting love. In John chapter 15 verse 13, he said, greater love, John 15, 13, greater love has no man than this. That a man or a person should lay down their life for those whom he calls or she calls friends. Therefore, this event is such that we must understand what orchestrated it, what the event was all about. And then the third aspect of an event, because of time, is the impact of the event. What has this event left you with? Now that you knew the necessity of it, now that you understand what this event has become and why it is, what impact has it left on you? Because when you encounter something that does not impact your life, it is meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
Decisions of life are made on the basis of events that has occurred. I tell you, a lot are going to change in this world because of COVID-19. The way medical procedures are done, the way preventive medications and preventive medicines are developed, the way vaccines are developed, the way economic situations are structured are going to change. Why? Because of this event. Mm-hmm. Event is transformative. Mm-hmm. Event must be transformative. Therefore, it becomes a mockery and a thing of disgrace if the death of Jesus means nothing to you. If it does not change you. If it has no impact in your life. The greatest event that turns the human history around must become personal to you. Because Jesus didn't just die for the world. He died for you. If you were the only one alive, He would have still gone to the cross.
Yes.
He demonstrated that by saying to the thief on the cross, "This day, you're going to be with me in paradise."
Hallelujah.
You are important. But how much have your life been impacted by this event? Hallelujah. All that Christ accomplished on the cross is manifested in what the Bible calls the new man in Christ, or the new creation. In what is called the inheritance of the riches of his grace towards you who believe. So this event brought about two things. It brought about the new man in Christ. The one who has become a child of God now have the life of God in him or her. And number two, this event ushered into existence, into manifestation, the inheritance of God upon the believer. So by the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the believer in Christ has inheritance. Inheritances of wisdom, of favor, of divine health and healing, of oneness with God, of access into the very presence of God. Inheritance of joy and peace that passeth all understanding. Inheritance of favor with God and with man has become yours. Healing has become yours.
Amen.
You have an inheritance. All these became about by virtue of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Therefore, no believer is a poor person. No believer should be bound to fear. No believer should be bound by the shackles of sin, because the victory over sin has been secured.
Amen.
This brought about change. So much so that the power of death and hell has been broken.
Amen.
The believer in Christ will sleep in death, not die.
Hallelujah.
You do not die.
Hallelujah.
You sleep in death.
Hallelujah.
That's what the Bible says. Therefore, there is immortality and work in your life by virtue of what Jesus has done.
Hallelujah.
You have this inheritance. But also you have what is called newness of life. Newness of life. It therefore means that your life, my life, must become that now. That is live not for ourselves. Why? If you deserve to die and someone took your place, he died your debt. Therefore, you cannot live for yourself, because the life you have is a borrowed one. Jesus help me. The unfortunate thing here is that the church has focused so much on the inheritance, has focused so much to the neglect of the new man. The church has focused so much on a Christianity of a need-driven relationship. We are all we think about, talk about, pray about is what God can do for us. There is nothing else God has to do for
Jesus.
You. He's done it all.
Amen.
I want to say that again.
Amen.
There is nothing else God has to do for you. He's done it all. All you need is to realize what has been done.
Amen.
Accept it and walk in it. Hallelujah.
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 The next 3 minutes that I have, I want to establish these three things, or four. This event that have changed human history, therefore now, must awake you and I to the responsibility and the calling of the new nature that we have in us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. This event must now awake us to the responsibility and to the calling of the new nature that is in us. If you have accepted Christ, there is a new nature in you. 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 1 through 9. Therefore the Bible says, putting away malice and bitterness and anger and rancor, we must now put away the old man and be renewed in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We must awake. And number two, this event is calling us to reprioritize your quest. Mm-hmm. What is your priority in life? Your priority in life must become that which is focused on the kingdom of God. Every believer across the world, let me say this to you. When you die, when you pass on and sleep, child of God, that is one thing that will be important. It is the life you have lived for God. Everything here makes no meaning. It is vanity. What is important is kingdom. What have you done with such a great love such as this? Awake to your kingdom life. Awake to your kingdom priority. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God. The righteousness, every other thing shall be added unto you. Amen. Number three, this event must impact us in such a way that we become conscious. We become consciously and deliberately living channels of God's mercy. We must now become Lebedusha Barata. Don't point the finger. Because you are saved by mercy and grace.
Amen.
Extend mercy and grace.
Amen.
Let people see you and see the mercy of God.
My God.
Let people see you and see the love of God. Let people see you and see who Christ is. And finally, this event is such that must impact you and I in such a way that we must stop fooling ourselves. Stop what? Fooling yourself. Why? Because if you and I are ignorant of the fact that from this day, whatever we sow, we will reap. God has shown you what it means to love people. So don't say I cannot love. God has shown you what it means to sacrifice. Therefore, you will. Today, I submit to you that Easter must become a living thing in your life.
Hallelujah.
That this season must make something or make an impact that is lasting in your life. Father, thank you for the opportunity to bring your word.
Thank you
for those who have heard it.
Thank you,
Holy Spirit, breathe upon it.
Amen.
Breathe upon it.
Amen.
Breathe upon it.
Amen.
That through these words you awake, quicken your people.
Amen.
We bless you and we honor you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
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 Let's work.